One of the most stirring scenes we find in Acts chapter 16. You have Paul and Silas. Beginning in verse 16, it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. When her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, brought them to the magistrates, and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet into the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners listening to them. Suddenly there's a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself. Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' And then he called for a light, he ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And so they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your house.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his house." This particular scene is quite amazing. Here you have Paul and Silas after having been beaten, having done a good work, certainly, in the preaching of the gospel, but having cast out this spirit from this young lady. Now they're in trouble with the magistrates, with the people of the city. The people are in an uproar. They cause them then to be beaten, cast into the innermost part of the prison, their feet now in stocks. And verse 25 is quite amazing, isn't it? That in the midst of all of that, at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing. Praying and singing. James mentions something about praying and singing when he talks about those who are sick. Let him pray. Those who are merry, joyful, let him sing psalms. This is what they were doing. No doubt both hurting and in need, but also finding reason to rejoice. Seems strange to us. History tells us of one occasion where Christians were being tortured. This is in the early 300s AD. Even marched to their deaths. Quite a fiery ordeal. Sometimes they would be burned at the stake. One occasion tells of a group who were marching to their deaths and they were singing a song of praise as they went. And the song that was in their hearts began to kindle a flame with those around us, with those around them. One of the oldest known Christian hymns has an interesting tune, and I have no idea what the tune must be, but it has interesting words, I should say. I don't know what the tune is exactly. Eddie, if you want to try to figure this one out, this will be a good one. Here are the words. This is from around 325 AD. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, For thee we claim victory. For thee we claim the crown. That's what they were singing. This one goes back to the Roman emperor Licinius, in 325. It's interesting because behind this particular hymn is this story. There were 40 gallant soldiers of the Roman army who had become Christians. Their commanding officer, a man by the name of Sempronius, he received an edict from the Caesar that only Caesar was God, and that every man in his army must bow and worship him as God. And these 40 refused to bow down to Caesar, and therefore they were condemned to death. Sempronius ordered their uniforms be stripped from them, and they marched them out on a frozen lake at midnight to die. But as they were marching out, they began to sing this particular song. 40 wrestlers, wrestling for thee, O Christ. For thee we claim the victory. For thee we claim the crown. Onward they kept marching and singing till they were out on the middle of the lake. Sempronius was astonished at such devotion. Now in the face of death, certain death, they're still singing. But after a while, the singing stopped. Sempronius realized that when one had come skulking back in and now wanting to burn incense to Caesar, he realized that there were only 39. The song didn't make sense anymore. 40 wrestlers. He was so moved by it that he stripped his uniform off and met them on the lake to their death. There is power in singing praise unto God. There is power in singing, period. When we lift up voices together, we think about why every school has their alma mater, right? A song that they sing, that they can all kind of get behind, that kind of spurs them on, brings them together. There's a sense of fellowship in that. Why that each college team out there has also a fight song, right? That gets the crowd fired up behind their team, right? And presses, and then they're able to press on, right? As they shout to the top of their lungs for their team. Singing praises unto God is very powerful. And it has caused many to give up their ways, to come in from the world, repent and turn unto God and follow Him. And so there is wonderful power in praising God. As we think about the verses, the prayers that have been prayed, the songs that we have sung this evening, all with that theme in mind of praising God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? And to be able to do that together, what a blessing that is to each of our lives. But it's hopefully spurring each of us on, encouraging each of us. And the prayers lifted up for those who are in need, those who are sick, and the psalms that are sung, not just for our enjoyment, but for the praise of our God, to teach us, to admonish us, to encourage us to fight the good fight of faith, to not give up, to lay hold on eternal life, as Paul wrote to Timothy. And so may you find encouragement and opportunity and praise to be faithful unto God. We're here this evening to encourage anyone who might have a need. If you have need of a specific prayer, we're here to encourage you to let us know what that is, that we can lift up your name in prayer. If there's one this evening who needs to repent and ask for forgiveness, we're here to encourage you by standing beside you and lifting up your name as you repent and make those things right. If there's one who needs to obey the gospel, this is the night. This is your opportunity. If you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, would repent of sin, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized to wash away your sins, the Lord will add you to His church as saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. So if we can encourage you, we're going to sing another song. You can come to the front while we stand and while we sing.